From Spark and Anvil and Geometry Forge, this is Lady Inscribed Angle, in Chapter 1 of the Geometry Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
The kingdom held many small lakes, but none quite like Lake Drumhead. It was, by any measure, an unusual body of water. Not just roughly circular, or mostly round, but perfectly so. For 300 years, the villagers of Drumhead, a settlement older than the kingdom's naming conventions, had measured its circumference. Every generation, the numbers agreed, a flawless circle, about half a mile across. Its surface often shimmered like a taut drumskin, reflecting the sky with an almost unsettling precision. Lady Inscribed Angle, whose given name was Pell before she entered the academy, was born and raised on the very rim of this remarkable lake. Her earliest memories were of its cool, damp air and the endless curve of its horizon. The children of Drumhead played a game, ancient and deeply ingrained, called the Cord Walk. It was a ritual passed down through generations, its origins lost to time, yet its rules were as clear as the lake surface on a calm day. Here's how it worked. A child would choose a starting point on the lake's edge, perhaps a smooth stone or a patch of reeds. Then they would pick two other points along the rim, anywhere they wished. The game involved walking the arc of the lake from one of these chosen points to the other. All the while, the child kept their head turned, their gaze fixed on an imaginary straight line connecting those two endpoints. This invisible line was called the cord.
Once the child completed their walk along the arc, they returned to their original starting spot. The older children, who had been watching with serious, measuring eyes, would then announce two things. First, they noted the angle formed at the starting child's position, between the two points they had picked. Second, they measured the length of the arc the child had just traversed. Then came the announcement. A single, consistent number. Half. The arc the child had walked was always, without fail, twice the angle measured at their starting position. Always. It was a truth as undeniable as the sun rising over the lake each morning. The game held no explicit explanation. It was simply a fact of life, a phenomenon the children of Drumhead absorbed with their mother's milk. The villagers would often say, with a knowing nod, that this was what the lake taught. Pell was 11 when the lake's lesson truly began to sink into her bones. The simple half became a persistent question in her mind, a puzzle she couldn't ignore.
That summer, she walked the cord by her own careful count, 317 times. She experimented from every conceivable starting point on the rim, from the rocky northern shore to the sandy southern cove. She chose cords so short the arc was barely a sliver, and cords so long they stretched more than halfway around the lake. She even tried standing on a wobbly rock, a sturdy tree stump, and once, precariously, on her cousin's shoulders. Yet, the rule held fast. The angle at the rim was always, precisely, half the arc. At 11, she didn't grasp the underlying why. She only knew the undeniable that. The lake had shown her a fundamental truth, but the language to describe it remained elusive. When she turned 16, a traveling tutor named Mira arrived in Drumhead. Mira was a quiet woman who taught geometry to children in the coastal villages. Pell, emboldened by years of unanswered questions, approached her by the lake's edge. She asked about the cord walk, about the constant half. Mira listened intently, her eyes tracing the lake's perfect curve. Then she sat down in the wet sand, smoothing a patch with her hand. With a stick, she drew three simple pictures, a large circle, then points on its rim, then lines connecting them. "The angle you stand at," Mira explained, drawing a vertex on the circle's edge, "is called an inscribed angle. It's formed by two cords that meet at a point on the circle." She then drew a point exactly in the center of the circle.
Now, if a person stood at the center of the lake and measured the angle to those same two points on the rim, that would be called the central angle. Mira connected the center point to the two points on the rim. The central angle is essentially the same as the arc you walked, just expressed in degrees instead of a physical length. And the inscribed angle, she tapped the drawing on the rim, is always, exactly, every single time, for any circle, half of the central angle. Pell watched, her breath held. The stick in Mira's hand moved with graceful precision, and suddenly the abstract half clicked into place. She understood.
A small, knowing smile touched Pell's lips. "The lake has been teaching this to children for 300 years," she said softly. "Nobody ever told us what it was called." Mira smiled back, her eyes crinkling at the corners. "The lake teaches very well indeed. The names are just for the children who do not have a lake of their own." In that moment, standing by the ancient teaching lake, 16-year-old Pell made a decision. She would become the person who taught children without lakes what Lake Drumhead had taught her. She studied with Mira for 2 years, absorbing every lesson. Then she journeyed to the prestigious Academy of Geometry Forge, where she immersed herself in advanced studies for 3 more years. Upon fully embodying a single geometric primitive, as was the Academy's tradition, she took the name Lady Inscribed Angle. She has been teaching ever since. Even now, she returns to Drumhead twice a year. She still walks the cord, tracing the familiar arcs, and still she gets the same result. The lake's lesson remains constant. When new students arrive in her classroom for the first time, Lady Inscribed Angle always begins the same way. She draws a perfect circle on the board. She adds a chord, then marks a point on the rim. Next, she places a dot exactly at the center. "This," she says, pointing to the angle on the rim, "is the inscribed angle. And this," she indicates the angle at the center, "is the central angle. Which one do you think is bigger?" The children, almost without exception, guess wrong the first time. They point to the inscribed angle, convinced it must be larger because it appears closer to them, more immediate.
Lady Inscribed Angle offers a gentle smile. "It certainly looks bigger," she acknowledges, "but it is half. The central angle is twice." Then she lets them measure it themselves. She encourages them to try it from a different point on the rim, then with a different chord altogether. Each time, the answer is the same. The inscribed angle is always half the central angle. "This is a fundamental truth about circles," she tells them, her voice soft but firm. "It holds true for every circle, everywhere. You don't need a lake to test it, but you do need a circle, and you need patience, and sometimes you need to walk the cord." When students ask if the inscribed angle theorem is difficult, Lady Inscribed Angle always gives the same reassuring answer. "It is not hard at all. It is only half. The angle at the rim is half the arc you see, every single time, for every single circle." She tilts her head slightly when she says this, a peculiar habit. The Academy children have noticed that her unique fox-like ears prick forward whenever a circle appears in a problem. She doesn't seem to do it on purpose. "The circles," she claims with a quiet certainty, "simply call to her." And when a student's face finally goes soft and surprised, the way hers did on the rim of the lake all those years ago, those fox ears prick all the way forward, because that warm, glad little leap in her chest is the very thing she left Drumhead to feel again.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Lady Inscribed Angle. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.